Please join me in Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 35. Luke 18, starting in verse 35. There are times in all of our lives where we've been able to look and see someone accomplishing something great, and it's been beautiful to us. Some of us have had the pleasure of looking at loved ones or family members participating in sports, and they do some great thing that makes us go, yes, look what they did. That's fantastic. Some of us, our pursuits are more academic, and we see people moving along and accomplishing something great that we have longed to see them accomplish. Sometimes it's matters of righteousness, things that we have tried to prepare people for, and then we see them do this thing or cross some threshold, and we're able to look and say, yes, look what they've done. Well, in our lives, we long to see people doing good and beautiful things. At different points in our lives, we've seen people who have been hindered and can't do good things or beautiful things. And there's a bit of lamenting that goes along with someone who is just stumbling along and not quite making it through life. An injury is sad for this reason. There's a sorrow at different times and in different points. Well, recently, there have been videos being posted online of people who have had disabilities, and there's been some advancement that's rescued people from disabilities. There have been instances where there's a child who hasn't been able to hear, and they've done a cochlear implant on them, and they make these videos of a child who hears their mother's voice for the first time. And when the child looks and sees the mother speak and hears the voice, the child is shocked and in awe. There have even been adults who have had these surgeries and these things that have happened, and they will automatically begin to weep as they see something good has been accomplished. In a sense, they have been made whole. When we look at the account of blind Bartimaeus, as he is called, I want you to think in these terms of a man who has been hindered, a man who could have worked, who could have labored, who could have done great things and beautiful things, a man who could have worked and provided for a family. Instead of that, this man is knocked down to the bottom rung and he sits alongside the road and begs. Most of us know what it's like to come across a beggar. Many of us, I'm sure, have moved to the other side of the street when we saw someone who was going to ask us for something. Well, we see the posture of Christ in interacting with a beggar. We see a man who was broken and hindered and incomplete. And I invite you to see the joy of a rescue and a healing. Luke chapter 18. Starting with verse 35. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And as he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Where are you in this story? At different points in your life, you will be at different places in this story. All of us, hopefully, can step into the place where we see ourselves as a beggar, crying out to Jesus, "Heal me, save me, fix me, rescue me." You need to be in this place now. That you see your place of need. You see your place for healing. You see yourself in the place where you need an actual rescue. We move outside of our theological realms where the things that we are holding on to are mere thoughts, mere catechism questions and answers. And we move to the place where we say, I have a need in my innermost being. I have a need within my soul for Christ Jesus to rescue me and answer me. And I'm afraid that if that's not where you are, you're the other group. The people leading the crowd, telling everybody else who says I have a need to be quiet. Shut up. You're messing with our assembly. You are messing with our plans. Be quiet with your need. Be quiet. Stop crying out. As we look at this, there was an actual tension that was beginning to take place here. Those who were leading the way in this situation kept sternly telling the man, be quiet. But as we look, we see the man wouldn't be silenced. It says he called out all the more in this situation. So Jesus is coming down the road. His disciples are standing over yelling at this blind man, be quiet. And this man is yelling back, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This elevates to the point where Jesus, although he's in this crowd, he says, bring him over here. And the man is brought to Christ, and Christ moves in and asks, what do you want me to do for you? Kind of an obvious question, probably. But the healing is going to be manifested. The healing is going to be shown to the people. If anyone there didn't know that this was blind Bartimaeus, they knew when he said, I want to receive my sight. There's this place of being open with our weaknesses, open with our failings, open with our shortcomings, open with our fall, that when we confess our sins to one another and then are able to pray for one another, we're also able to rejoice together because we see what Christ is accomplishing within us. We see the great work that is accomplished through this, that the man who is healed rejoices and he begins to glorify God, and that is our place to be glorifying God. And when all of the people saw it, they also gave praise to God. We've gone from this situation with disciples shouting at the blind man shouting back, crying out to Jesus, that they are a multitude moving along, giving praise to God, which is where we want to be. Which is who we want to be. As individuals, as families, as a church, a people moving along, glorifying God and giving praise to Him. So the call for you this morning is to live lives of mercy, glory, and praise. Our first step, number one, is to remember Jesus' full authority. We look at the man crying out, and he's calling out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is this Son of David business? Well, there's so much has led up to Christ coming. When we look at the scripture and when you are teaching people the scripture, it's great to show them the Old Testament and say, this is when they are looking forward to Jesus coming. And the New Testament is when he has come. And you can flip to Matthew 1:1 and show them, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This David and this Jesus who is coming, we sang about him in Psalm 2. We sing about him throughout the scripture. David is saying, you've done this thing. You have made me king over the nations. And then David dies. And where is the king over the nations? But coming as the son of David coming forward. We look and blind Bartimaeus here, he gets it. That Jesus is the son of David. He is the one that the Father has spoken to and said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. And everyone who does not bow the knee to the son of David, who does not bow the knee to Christ, he's coming. He's coming in his fury. He will crush them with a rod of iron. This is the serious place that we fall back to and look at Christ as prophet, as priest, as king. We talk about knowing him as Savior and knowing him as Lord. This Lord place is his kingship over the world, over the nations, and over our hearts. So as he's calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me, Jesus stops and he takes notice. This man gets it. This man gets Psalm 2. This man gets Psalm 110. And from that place, Jesus speaks to this man as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who actually has faith. Standing as king, he says, bring him to me. And as the man is brought, Jesus stands with his full authority, demonstrates his full power. Christ, he was in a position of meekness at this point, but at any point, he demonstrated, I can command the wind and the waves. I can command nature. I can command people. I have power over death itself. And at the point where he is being arrested and Peter brings out his sword and comes in fighting, he says, stop it, Peter. Don't you know that at any point I could ask my father and he would put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Full authority. Full authority. At that point when he walked the earth as a man, and even more so at this point as he is at the right hand of the Father and we're waiting for him to come back as the conquering king. Know that Christ. Worship that Christ. Trust that Christ who is the one with all authority and his kingdom is advancing. So remembering Jesus' full authority, we're not at the place where he's someone that we run from, but he is someone that we run to. And this is our second step to love mercy. Verse 38 and 39. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What is this place of mercy that we're crying out for? And this is that place that I've urged each of you to be in. We're in that place where we know that we need mercy. We need pity. We need grace. We need forgiveness. We need to be held. Not as a people who have arrived, but as a people who are stumbling along. As a people who need help. This is the posture of the Christian. For each of us. Those of us who are children. Those of us who are young. Those of us who are adults and aunts and uncles and parents and grandparents. This is the place for all of us. I need mercy. I need help. And as all of us can relate on this level, we come together as a people who need mercy. We don't have to pretend to be perfect. We don't have to pretend to have arrived. It builds our relationship when we are standing together in the place of mercy, where we all know that we need this grace. Remember Psalm 51, and David's posture himself. He didn't come and say, look, I killed that giant for you, didn't I? Didn't I show you that I'm great? Haven't I gone out and won many wars? So bless me. He comes and he says, have mercy on me. So not only do we acknowledge the mercy and come in a place of admitting we need mercy, but it's right to be loving it. Loving the mercy that we are actively receiving in Christ. This is a place of joy and peace as he comes to us as a father that has compassion on his children. We live in a place of compassion. We live in the place of mercy. Our third step comes from verse 40. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. Our third step is be brought to Jesus. Seldom are we brought by comfort. We are like the stupid horse or mule that will not come near unless bit and bridle drag us to him. Pain also brings us to him. Sometimes we do a disservice to one another when we rescue each other from pain that we should rightly be experiencing. When we give one another comfort and say, peace, peace. When really, we might not be in a place to receive peace if we are in an act of rebellion against Christ. There is a pain that is meant to be there. And I'm calling on you to look and see if the pain in your life is because you're kicking against the goads or you're fighting against the bit and the bridle, if you're refusing to come to Christ as King. It's easy to diagnose if we're children fighting with our parents and not listening and obeying. We can see that there is a disobedience there and there is a pride there. And it makes sense that there's a tension and we're hurting. It makes sense if we are in a situation, if we are husbands and we are not living with our wives in an understanding way. It makes sense if we're wives and we are not loving our husbands and submitting to them, if there is a tension there. It makes sense if we are being bitter against one another. If every single day or every time you come together with the church that you're annoyed or you're put off by someone, aren't we holding on to bitterness then in that position? Aren't we lacking the same grace and mercy and peace that we have received? Being brought to Jesus, we are being in that place of mercy, to that place where we are called upon and it's demanded that we forgive as we have been forgiven, that we put off all bitterness and wrath and jealousy. As far as it depends on us as individuals, we be at peace with one another. This is what it is to follow Christ Jesus now. To put on humility, grace, and love. So as you would be looking at your pains and your tensions, your fears, your doubts, your loneliness, I ask you the same question, or I will be as bold as to say, Christ asks you now. What do you want him to do for you? Do you see your own need? Has your need been revealed? pride and arrogance, rebellion against authorities that Christ has put into place, bitterness, wrath, lust. What is there? What do you need Him to do for you? What do you want Him to do for you? I'll challenge you to confess your sins to one another, to pray for one another, so that the fervent prayers of a righteous man will accomplish much in your life, so that we will have that same victory that blind Bartimaeus had, as his faith had made him well. If you're in the bizarre place where you are unaware that you sin, the tragic place that you think you've got it together and you're pulling it off, ask what Bartimaeus asked. Say, give me sight. Let me see. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed for the church. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of this calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of His might. I call upon you to move beyond your natural weaknesses. We have these excuses in our lives. I don't do this ministry or this service, or I don't interact with these people in this way because that's just not who I am. It's not in me genetically, or it's not how I was raised. Do you see that Christ demands and His great work is to move beyond the natural? To move to the supernatural. I'm not a strong leader. Well, if you're in a position where Christ says you are, you have to be. I can't submit. Well, if you're in a position where Christ says you have to, you have to. All of these things and all of these excuses that we have, these are the places where Christ would be glorified in your life. Where you manifest no longer the natural, but the supernatural. Like blind Bartimaeus. So how are these things accomplished? And for this we move to verse 5, which is anchor your faith. It is exciting in a sense as Jesus speaks to blind Bartimaeus. He says, your faith has made you well. Well, what is faith? So in what sense did blind Bartimaeus' faith make him well? Was it that he tried really hard to believe, and so blind Bartimaeus did this great work within himself that he was able to conjure up enough belief? So Jesus rewarded him like, oh, look at the good job you did working so hard to believe. So now you're blessed, blind Bartimaeus. Your faith has made you well. It's not that. What was Bartimaeus' faith? What was the reality of it? What is faith? It was the conviction of things hoped for. The expectation of things not seen. It plays out beautifully here, doesn't it? His conviction was the promise. Thy diseases, all who heals. You who give sight to the blind. Blind Bartimaeus said, the Son of David. The Son of David comes. The Son of David can give sight to the blind. The Son of David comes, who is the reward, who heals all of my diseases. This place of faith for us is conviction in the promises of Scripture. The hopeful expectation of things not seen. This is the faith that heals and rescues and changes. This is the blessing. Now we look and maybe we all cry out together, I believe, help my unbelief, right? I believe, help me. I believe, I still need you. Where does this faith come from? We're given this instruction in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How do you trust someone? A good friend of mine, his answer is, you get to know them. You spend time with them. And if they're trustworthy, you'll figure it out. How do you trust Christ more? You get to know Him more. You spend time with Him more. You listen to Him more. And from that place, you will trust Him more. And we see the great work that is accomplished then. Blind Bartimaeus was healed. He received his sight. Christ gives that testimony. Your confidence in things not seen, your hopeful expectation in what has been promised has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and he began to follow Him, glorifying God. And when all the people say it, they gave praise to God. And we have this great picture of them marching along together, singing together, rejoicing, praising God together. And as one of our elders likes to say, cue the music, roll the credits. And it doesn't give us this, but it must have happened. He must have looked around and he's rejoicing and he asks, so where are we going? To Jerusalem is the answer. Great. What for? And maybe one of the disciples would have said, I don't know. Last verse he said, he's going there to be beaten and flogged and spit upon and killed. And Bartimaeus would say, and why are we going there? Because we're going with Him. Although we're in a place of great victory, in a place of great hope and confidence and healing, it's not all going to look like fireworks in a parade. It looks like laying our lives down. That's following Christ. And through the midst of that, we live in the place of mercy where we are actively receiving mercy for ourselves, where we're actively bringing other people to Christ for them to receive mercy. And we sit in this mercy and we enjoy this mercy together. When we're in the place where we are actively being healed together, well, we're in the place of glorifying God and praising Him together. These are beautiful lives. Lives of living and walking with and following Christ. Have this beautiful life with Him. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You for having spoken to us this morning. We thank You for Your grace and we thank You for the mercy in which we now live. Now please bless us as we continue to worship You and serve You, as we continue together to proclaim Your death until You come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.